happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to the Gayer USA. I'm Andy Hum, and we welcome back, oh my God, it's Joe Biden.
Ann Northrup doing her Joe Biden imitation in the aviator sunglasses, although I have to criticize Brian Williams on MSNBC, who said Joe's glasses were Bausch and Loam. No, Brian, they're Ray-Bans. Grow up. Why, how old are you?
Welcome back, Ann.
Well, I'm very happy to be back, and I really, really am grateful to Maren Johns and Chris Cooper for filling in for me for the last couple of weeks, and of course to you, Andy, and our director, Rich, for carrying on in my absence. I don't know what people thought, vacation, COVID, whatever, but the truth is I broke my ankle. Oh. I slipped on a steep, very slippery slope on, of course, a golf course. My feet went out from under me, and boom, it's the first time I've ever broken a bone in my life. I don't recommend it, but I'm having a good, solid recovery, and 2.5 weeks later, I am off the crutches, out of the boot, and just very carefully walking around my apartment with both feet on the ground. I have another month to go or so, but I am regaining my strength physically and mentally, so I'm thrilled to be joining you here today. Thank you. And now I'm going to switch out the aviators because they're not reading glasses, so I can't see.
I was shocked there for a moment.
Here I am.
Now, while you were away, I don't know if you're aware of this, we got a new president and a vice president and two new senators from Georgia and a new senator from California. And President Biden has advanced LGBTQ rights on day one.
I had heard that, and I'm thrilled to hear it. And I know that we're going to discuss that in more depth because we are doing this on Wednesday afternoon, and we both just watched the inauguration. So it's a pretty good time, although we, of course, will have our reservations about everything. But no reservations about Biden's historic move. He has nominated or will nominate the Secretary of Health of Pennsylvania, out transgender Dr. Rachel Levine, who you've seen pictured many times on this show. She is being nominated for the number 3 position at the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm sort of holding my breath for the confirmation hearings, but maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
You're going to talk about her. Now, of course, Trump exited, leaving a complete mess, an escalating pandemic, and as many anti-LGBT initiatives as possible, including right down to the wire.
Yeah, with any luck, we can get rid of most of them.
I don't know what he did on the plane yet.
That's right. Or from Mar-a-Lago. Oh, yes. Here's what he did. He issued one more pardon to Jeanine Pirro's ex-husband.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah. Well, maybe we haven't heard about that yet. Meanwhile,
maybe he wants to share a cell with her.
Undoubtedly. Out lesbian attorney Robbie Kaplan, who you remember for representing Edie Windsor in her huge winning case at the Supreme Court, is now set to go after Trump in 2 more big cases.
Franklin Graham condemned all the Republicans who voted for impeachment as Judases, who took 30 pieces of silver from Nancy Pelosi, while pulling his medical tents out of mothballs just now after not using them since he raised all that money in New York.
What a guy. And pro golfer Justin Thomas, who uttered the anti-gay slur, has now lost a big clothing contract.
The killer of 3 gay men in England, who we told you about in a park, was sentenced to life in prison.
And the AIDS quilt has inspired a teenager to create a COVID quilt.
Where should we start? Should we start with Joe's speech, with the day's events, or where do you want to go?
Take your pick, whatever strikes you about the inauguration.
I mean, you know, it was a great relief. You know, people are saying I can finally unclench for the first time in 4 years. So I think it was kind of a healing thing. I didn't hear us really mentioned in these, in the proceedings. We used to really lobby for that. But he emphasized the fact that democracy has prevailed. We've come so far and we have so far to go. Racial justice will be deferred no longer. He spoke out against nativism, and he spoke out against white supremacy, which was right in the middle of the speech, clearly. And I think that was terrific. You know, I was worried about this taking place outside, what could happen. But I think doing it in the sunshine and redeeming the Capitol after the coup attempt was essential.
Yeah, I was worried about that, too. So I was very glad to be proved wrong and to have them show that they could carry it off. And I also noted and was surprised and thrilled by his explicit mention of white supremacy. That was a great moment. I thought his speech was very strong. Of course, I noticed other things like Bill and Hillary Clinton didn't seem to be speaking to each other.
Can I notice that?
Biden greeted all the ex-presidents and started to walk away before Clinton kind of tapped him on the shoulder and he noticed that he hadn't spoken to him. I thought Lady Gaga and Jennifer Lopez were fantastically strong.
Whoa, when she came out of that dress, Lady Gaga, and J-Lo's dress for that matter.
Well, I thought their voices were terrific and they both did a great job, so I was happy about that. And, you know, all of it came off very well, and I was scared about that after what we saw 2 weeks ago. So,
Amanda Gorman, the young poet.
Yeah.
That was a big feature for a lot of people.
And then, of course, just afterwards, when they're in the Capitol going through the usual ceremonies without the usual lunch, it was a little grating to have Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and other Republicans standing up and being so gracious.
You know, Joe said, you know, we must stand in another person's shoes if just for a few moments. You know, we must end this uncivil war. Republicans have been so intransigent for so long. We'll know very soon whether they will be willing to work together. Already, Josh Hawley is objecting to cabinet members. He won't get very far, but he's delaying things. He showed up at this thing. I hope they checked him for weapons.
Well, I'd like to think that he is so egregiously horrible that other Republicans will take a look at him and say, I don't really want to be on his side. And maybe that will push them a little closer to Biden. But as you say, we will see. There's a lot coming up. Mike Pompeo went out with a bang, declaring that multiculturalism is not who we are.
Well, that's his 2024 platform.
Oh, my God. The gall of these people is just unbelievable.
Oh, the 1776 document that they released on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday.
Yes.
Basically attacks, I mean, I have notes on this, but it attacks progressivism as akin to Mussolini. Seriously, I mean, these words are things that they say. They didn't have a single historian on the 1776 project, which is their answer to the 1619 project. And they're basically saying, oh, don't talk about slavery. It was wrong, but it was essential at the time. And, you know, come on. But look, this country has never come to grips with its real history. And frankly, you know, we eked out victories this year. In the presidency, in the Electoral College, it was actually quite close if you look at the state-by-state vote. You know, landslide, no landslide. But, the system works against us all the time. I mean, they have introduced a voting rights bill, a really good one, that compels the states, let ex-offenders vote, nonpartisan redistricting everywhere, mandating all these things. If that kind of stuff happened, we could make some progress. But we also have to get rid of the Senate and get rid of the Electoral College. I mean, get rid of them. We can't move. No other nation has a system like this and calls itself a democracy.
Well, at least get rid of the filibuster rule so that the Senate can be a majority vote.
Well, the only hope for that is that Joe Manchin, gets so fed up with the fact that things are not moving.
Yeah.
That he says.
And you're right, because it's not at all representative when you have, as we've said many times and others also say continually, you have two senators from South Dakota and two senators from California. It's crazy.
Please turn off your phones, everybody.
Now, a little good news from the Josh Hawley front. He is losing tons of financial support. He lost his mainstream book deal, although a small Christian publisher has picked up the book. He's losing all sorts of support across the board. And he's going around saying things like, Jesus Christ is Lord, Christianity rules, not
Catherine Stewart, who writes about the religious right takeover of America, which is their plan, wrote a big op-ed piece about him, saying that Hawley denounced Pelagius, a monk from the 1700 years ago, who thought that human beings have the freedom to choose how they live.
Yeah.
And that grace comes to those who do good things, not just those who believe in the right doctrines. This all informs his opposition to abortion rights, LGBT rights. He claims his version of Christianity should have authority over all human life on the planet. This guy is out there.
He is, and he's just getting worse and worse. But the good news is all the corporations that have ditched their political contributions in the wake of the riot, insurrection, attempted coup at the Capitol two weeks ago.
They have paused their donations, and they don't usually make them in January after an election year anyway. So the truth is, it's going to be proved next year.
We'll see. Yes. Will they be willing to give them up entirely when they find that they can no longer buy politicians give the money?
We didn't get your perspective on the coup attempt yet. So
a couple of things. One serious thought and one a little lighter. I have to say that as I watched the inauguration and a lot of what I've seen in the last couple of weeks, I am a little appalled at mainstream media and politicians who say, you know, normalcy has prevailed. We won. It's all going to be fine again. And they act as if this is just a small bunch of people. And I think we make a huge mistake in not taking seriously the complaints made manifest by those people who broke into the Capitol. I took, for example, one particular quote from the attackers who said upon getting into the Capitol, I had no idea this place was so fancy, so gilded, so elite. And they don't want that. And most of the country, a large portion of the country is appalled by this elite attitude and the demise.
Slow down. Come on. Washington, D.C. has been a tourist mecca for hundreds of years because people do want to see this stuff and are inspired by the architecture and things. And I'm not talking about, if they want to get upset at guilt, how about Trump and his bathrooms and his apartments and that kind of stuff? That's the excess wealth that is killing this country, not our monumental buildings.
Well, you can argue that with
them.
My point is simply that to think that we have triumphed in some way over the disaffection of those who didn't like the elite in the first place and elected Trump for whatever reasons, smart or stupid, it would be a mistake on our part. And we must remain.
This wasn't the Bastille. raid. This, you know, this wasn't poor people rising up all over the world. These were mostly middle-class people.
I think it was a mixture. But it was people who hate those in power for whatever reasons. And I just don't want us to get complacent and then be thrown out of office again in 2 years and 4 years.
Let's understand what they hate. They hate multiculturalism. They hate black people. They hate LGBTQ people. They hate women in office, et cetera. Those are the things, even though there are some of them, of course, among them.
Well, they hate a lot of things, but they hate us for various reasons. And I just don't want us to forget that. I am hoping that.
What do you do? What do you do with these
people? Well, I hope that Joe Biden and his team will do enough good to win some of them over to the idea that perhaps we're not all bad and perhaps they're better off under us than under the Trump regime.
Do you turn the channel and look at Fox News over the last couple of weeks? They don't talk about this stuff at all. They just talk about, you know, they just continue to go on and on and on. And it's racist. It's racist. They don't even tell people what's really going on.
No, they talk about the stolen election and the what creeps the Democrats are. And that's
Black violence. They don't want to talk about their own violence.
Yes. But that's what scares me, is that that rhetoric is going to continue and people are still going to fall for it. But I do have one lighter moment from the insurrection, because I think we've expounded on that enough. So you saw the footage from the New Yorker war correspondent inside the Capitol as people were trashing the Senate floor. And it showed these guys at Cruz's desk going over his papers related to the objections to certifying the election. And one of the insurrectionists or rioters is saying, look, see, he was going to sell us out. He was going to vote against certifying the election. And his compatriots explained to him that that was what they wanted. They wanted him to vote against certifying the election. And your favorite, Joe Scarborough, comes out of that clip and says, to quote the great Bugs Bunny, what a maroon. And I remember that Bugs Bunny quote, so I was tickled pink to hear that.
One of the coup organizers was the guy who also organized Street Pride in Boston, Mark Sahady. He was arrested up in Boston. This is what we're talking about here.
Yes, there is.
And Franklin Graham, you know, made this big speech about the Republicans who voted for impeachment took 30 pieces of silver from Nancy Pelosi. But here's what I'm upset about this week. ABC, you know, they re-erected those tents, those medical tents, which obviously weren't needed since they raised all the money in New York. They weren't deployed anywhere else. So they put them up in North Carolina. Why? They need more money. And I was very upset watching ABC World News Tonight, and they were just featured doing another puff piece. This is with David Muir as the host, giving them more press. It's outrageous.
The gay host.
The gay host, you know.
But puffing up the virulently homophobic Franklin Graham.
Franklin Graham used that money for, if you have been watching cable television, and he must have run out, was ads looking at you and saying, come to Jesus, call this number, come to Jesus. That's what he spent the money on, not on helping COVID.
When even Pat Robertson announces that it was wrong to try to stop the certification of the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, Pat Robertson is more advanced in his understanding than Franklin Graham or in his willingness to admit to it.
Pat Robertson's father was a U.S. senator.
Well, there you are. But it's been a mess. I go into this with fingers crossed and worried about the future, but hopeful.
Well, some good things happened. The census director resigned. He could have stayed on for another year, practically.
Yeah.
And this provides some hope of getting everybody counted. Trump was desperate to exclude people who are not documented here from the census, even though the Constitution says count everybody. Now,
I think we were both shocked, amazed, and thrilled when the announcement was made this week that Biden is going to nominate Dr. Rachel Levine for the number three position at Health and Human Services, which is a position that requires Senate confirmation.
Indeed. And she has been the chief surgeon or some chief physician of Pennsylvania, then the secretary of health in Pennsylvania. She went through a lot of abuse being number one spokesperson in Pennsylvania on COVID. But she was confirmed for three different times by a Republican dominated legislature
in Pennsylvania. Yes. But as the most prominent transgender official in the country, she is now being nominated for this HHS post. And, you know, the Republicans do not have a good track record on these issues. So I can only imagine.
What are they going to do? I mean, Biden has seems to have a lot of understanding of trans issues. Donica Rome is one of his friends. He has done some work with her in Virginia, who's in the state legislature. He feels for these issues. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and look, these things don't just happen. A lot of LGBTQ people were lobbying, saying we need a visible transgender appointment in this administration.
Well, Dr. Levine is a pediatrician by training, an expert in adolescent medicine. In fact, she trained at the Mount Sinai Adolescent Medicine operation here in New York. She has been elected by her fellow state secretaries of health as the president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. That's a big deal.
Her background is in behavioral and mental health, actually.
And she is also an expert on HIV issues. So we're thrilled by her prospective nomination. And you should be doing anything you can to let your senators know that you support Dr. Rachel Levine for this post and want her confirmed in it.
And we're happy about at least this aspect of Tony Blinken, who was the nominee for Secretary of State. Chris Cooper said that this is one of my Harvard classmates. And he watched the hearings, and Ed Markey, Senator, questioned Blinken on LGBTQ rights, and Blinken unequivocally supported raise the rainbow flags, protect transgender folks, especially people of color, appoint a LGBT envoy, and put that person at the ambassador level. So this is the kind of stuff that we're going to get from this administration.
Well, this is what happened during the Obama administration. And when it all got torn down by the Trump administration, it was heartbreaking and very dangerous. But now we're going to bring that attitude back into our international relations with a Secretary of State who, again, understands and prioritizes these issues. And that is going to be a great relief.
Now, Biden, on his first day, did a whole bunch of executive orders, reversing the Muslim ban and rescinding the trans military ban. That's what I was told, that was on the table today. Rejoining the Paris Climate Accords. We're going to all have to wear masks on federal property and for interstate commerce. Pause student loan repayments and evictions, and revoke the gag rule, which always happens in a Democratic administration. Move to reunite immediately children at the border. Get that moving. Restore the right of federal workers to unionize. Reinstate the federal guidance ensuring trans students can have access to sports, restrooms, locker rooms consistent with gender identity, and sweeping ethics standards. Now, we had no ethics standards in the Trump administration. Huh. Oh, we did, but they have to be enforced by the president, who was without any such ethics.
Now, there are a lot of Trump misdeeds hanging around. Some will be easier to get rid of than others. I think most of them can be gotten rid of pretty quickly and easily, but there are going to be things that require a little more effort. And Lambda Legal has filed its 46th lawsuit against the Trump administration, even though they have disappeared, because they at the end of their term, they rescinded a rule that religious organizations that get public funding must inform their clients of non-discrimination rules. So Lambda and others are suing on that.
And of course, he personally now is going to be sued up the wazoo. He's already being sued. He's facing two lawsuits from Robbie Kaplan, our old buddy who was Edie Windsor's lawyer at the Supreme Court and won that case. She represents E. Jean Carroll in the defamation suit. This is a woman who 25 years ago was raped by Donald Trump and Bergdorf Goodman. And then she claimed that he claimed that she was totally lying about him. I don't even know who she is, which was a lie. And so she's suing for defamation. And she also, Robbie also represents Mary Trump, who claims that Trump and two of his siblings deprived her of an inheritance worth millions of dollars. And Robbie calls herself the go-to person to sue the president or the former president.
Well, they better hurry up because Trump isn't going to have any money left pretty soon, which just thrills me.
Well, but the suits are important, and some of them may eventually have criminal penalties. Tish James has a civil probe of his fraud in valuing his property for to evade taxes. This is how they got Al Capone, and they put him away on taxes. Cy Vance has a fraud case relating to the Stormy Daniels payoff. The D.C. U.S. attorney is probing Trump's role in the coup attempt, which was very direct, and the Fulton County DA in Georgia. Those phone calls were voter fraud that he made to the Georgia officials, and he should be put away for them.
And I don't know if you know this yet, but SAG-AFTRA, your union, is considering booting Trump out. Just another little kick.
Wow, expulsion.
Yep.
Wow. Hey, speaking of expulsion, well, actually, I have a Facebook story here. They shut down the Walk Away campaign, which tries to lure gays out of the Democratic Party.
Straka.
And their guy, Brandon Straka, was part of the coup attempt, at least on the steps of the Capitol. No indication inside. But hey, I was cut off from Facebook groups this week. I was allowed to post on my own page and on people's personal pages. But I was not. I was just told, you can't post in groups anymore. You just,
why?
They won't tell you. And a lot happened. If you were on the Insiders Out list that we're on with a lot of activists, a lot of people got cut off. I think it was a blanket algorithm. Anybody who makes a lot of political comments, we're going to slow all this down, at least during the trouble around the inauguration and everything. I think it was automatic. And but I'm not able to post in groups at the moment. They won't tell you why.
Submit your best guesses on why Andy Hum would be thrown out of posting in groups on Facebook. One good thing to look forward to, I hope, the confirmation hearings coming up maybe tomorrow for Pete Buttigieg. I saw him and Chasten on the Capitol dais at the inauguration.
And he, you know, I saw him on one of the news shows this morning. He's out there talking. Usually when your nomination is pending, you don't do any interviews. You wait for the Senate.
Well, no, different time.
He is a good spokesperson and thoughtful, and he's good for them.
All right. Let's go to some other news.
Well, I'm worried about state governments now, because now that they've got the Supreme Court, you know, we've always told you on the show about all these anti-LGBTQ bills, and a lot of them get scuttled because they don't think they'll be upheld in the courts. Now they think they will be upheld in the courts. And, you know, I didn't even know this. They have forced In God We Trust to be put in classrooms in several states. You have to post this in the classroom. You have to put it on police cars. It has to say, In God We Trust. These are godless people.
You know, 30 years ago when I was on trial for demonstrating inside St. Patrick's Cathedral and I was representing myself in court, it says, In God We Trust on the wall of the courtrooms in New York. And I made a motion, given the nature of this trial, how about if we shroud that during the trial?
And?
Motion denied.
It's the motto of the United States. And when was it adopted? In the 50s. It was an anti-communist thing. They always talked about godless communism in the 50s. So we were the god people and they were the atheist people. It's insane.
I'm sure Josh Hawley's very happy with it. Well, Montana and South Dakota right now are considering anti-trans student bills. Montana's two bills, one forbids trans students from participating in school sports, and the other forbids physicians from any kind of treatment of trans kids, I guess below 18, surgery or hormones, I think.
Similar to the Idaho laws, which are being
South Dakota is doing the sports bill too, so we have our eye on those.
Well, they just get this from a central group that sends it out to the right-wing legislatures, but of course, the big thing that they're going to be doing is redrawing the lines when the census is over. So that's what we're most worried about. Not in South Dakota because they only have one House district.
Yeah. Let's get to some of the people we lost this week, starting with Margot St. James, 83 years old. She was a pistol. She died in a nursing home in Bellingham, Washington, which was her hometown. But she spent her time in San Francisco. And in the 60s and 70s, she was declared by a judge to be a prostitute. And she said, I'm not a prostitute. I've never been paid for sex. But now that you mention it, maybe that's what I'll go do. And then she started Coyote.
Which stands for Call Off Your Tired Old Ethics.
Or Old Tired Ethics.
They're Old Tired Ethics.
Yes, which was a support group and advocacy group for sex workers. And very fierce and terrific at the time. I remember it well.
And she called sex work a service demanded by society, like someone doing your nails or your hair or giving you an enema at the hospital.
And she also started something called St. James Infirmary after the old jazz tune, but she was Margot St. James, to provide medical care for sex workers and others.
Well, she presided over the Hooker's Ball in San Francisco. I read this. I almost couldn't believe the figure. The Hooker's Ball attracted 20,000 guests, including many politicians, who were happy to have their picture taken with her.
The 70s were a different time. She rode into one of the balls on an elephant.
Well,
The picture we have shown or will show is her with T. Grace Atkinson, who was a huge feminist activist, and Flo Kennedy, who just was one of the funniest people ever.
But we're not allowed to quote anything she said on this show.
It's all too profane. But they were quite a group. And another judge or politician once referred to Margot St. James as a madam. And she said, madam, I was never management.
Because she's very pro-union.
Yeah, so.
I don't know. She had a husband. She had, a second husband. But she also moved to Europe with Gail Fetterson, maybe, P-H-E-T-E-R-S-O-N, the author of A Vindication of the Rights of Whores. So I don't know what their relationship
is. I don't know, but she was a great activist for us and everybody else who was at all marginalized in the early 60s and 70s and 80s. And
Margot St. James.
A heroine.
Power.
Yeah. And then there's Ken Jones, who also was in San Francisco, died at age 70 of bladder cancer. He was a great black activist whose priority was integrating the LGBT movement and insisting on that long before now. Great colleague of Cleve Jones, who called him a hero, who dedicated his entire life to the movement for peace and justice.
And Ken was portrayed in the television series and in Cleve's book, When We Rise, in 2017. He was a long-term survivor of HIV, and he was a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
Was portrayed in the movie, and he was an...
He was a co-chair of San Francisco Pride, when he got them to diversify. So he became a visible symbol.
Staying in California, California lobbyist and political consultant Steve Afriat, A-F-R-I-A-T, 68. He had served on the board of Equality California, worked on the campaigns of all those West Hollywood city council members when they got the whole board to be gay over the years. But he was also the chief of staff to Los Angeles's first out gay council member, Zev Yaroslavsky, and he co-founded the LA AIDS Walk in 1985. So a pioneer in our movement.
President of the Civil Service Commission there. Then there is, oh my God, Siegfried Fischbacher of Siegfried and Roy. Now, Roy was the one who was attacked by the tiger. There's still some question about whether the tiger was attacking him or trying to save him. But nonetheless, Roy Horn died 8 months ago in May of 2020 of COVID at age 75. Well, Siegfried has now followed him in death at 81 of pancreatic cancer. The show ended in 2003 when the tiger mauling happened. I love the story of their life. They met in 1957 on a cruise ship where Siegfried was doing magic acts and Roy had smuggled in his pet cheetah. And they just combined this and made for the biggest act to ever hit Las Vegas.
We're not going to make rabbits disappear. We're going to make cheetahs disappear. That's what now, it was an illusionist act. It was a $30 million production at its height, a 14-year run at the Mirage in Las Vegas.
Plenty of controversy over whether one should be working with animals in that kind of way. They defended it as giving the animals a great life in their animal preserves and keeping them alive. Others said, come on, this is outrageous. They were actually kind of discovered by Princess Grace in a show in Europe. And then they came to Las Vegas in 1967. But they really kind of invented the major show in Las Vegas. They really transformed entertainment in Las Vegas.
And this is someone else died this week, tragically. Harry Brandt, 24-year-old. He was the son of supermodel Stephanie Seymour and billionaire industrialist Peter Brandt, died of an accidental overdose of prescription drugs. He developed a unisex line of makeup for MAC and blurring gender lines. And he and his older brother Peter challenged gender stereotypes in their style, rich kids, but troubled.
Okay.
All right. So, all right. And of course, let's get to some other news. The Supreme Court did their hit on reproductive rights this week with a 6-3 ruling upholding Trump's FDA rule, making it harder for women to get access to abortion by pill. This the abortion pill is the only pill during the pandemic that you can't get by mail. You have to come in person to get it. This is just hatred of women. A hatred of abortion, and that can be overturned, I think, pretty quickly by the Biden administration.
Certainly hope so.
30% of abortions are by pill now.
Yeah, and a few local good news stories. In New York City, the Small Business Services organization will certify LGBT businesses, as well as minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses, to get special consideration for city contracts. That's a new approach. Women and people of color-owned businesses have gotten that for a while. Now they're adding LGBT. In Atlanta, Georgia, John Stryker, the philanthropist and creator of the Arcus Foundation, has just completed a $2 million donation to Spelman College, a black women's historically black college and university. He's supported them for a long time, but he's now, with that $2 million and contributions by others, established an Audre Lorde Queer Studies Chair. The first of its kind at any of the HBCUs.
Audre Lorde, big lesbian activist, and the poet laureate of New York at one time.
Yeah, so that's good news.
The Colorado Supreme Court recognized same-sex common law marriages from before marriage equality. They awarded $50,000 of one partner's retirement to the other partner and ordered spousal maintenance. So you may owe an ex of yours who you never married some money in some states.
It's complicated, and there are a lot of ways to look at this. 8 states in this country have common law marriage laws, and the problem is that you may have a long-term relationship with someone which you don't consider a marriage, but if you do certain things to hold yourselves out as a couple, and then you split, your former partner may come after you and say, hey, we were, in essence, married, and that may not have been what you intended. So watch out for those common law marriage laws. In L.A., the trial of Ed Buck, who managed to kill a few people with drug overdoses.
Black men, usually, right?
Yes, black men. Has been delayed again because of COVID shutting down the court system. He remains in custody, but the trial is now delayed till April.
In Indianapolis, the first residential setting for homeless LGBTQ youth, Trinity Haven, was opened. It started as a project of Trinity Episcopal Church, serving youth 12 to 20.
I look at this insurrection in the Capitol and these brand new members of Congress and what they walked into. And Richie Torres, who was on this show a couple of months ago, is one who strikes me, you know, suddenly they're in the middle of this insanity.
His first speech was the impeachment of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, now he's endorsed Andrew Yang for mayor of New York. I'm not sure why. And much as I like Andrew Yang, I don't think he's ready to be mayor at this point.
We don't want to get the show to be too local, but no. Andrew Yang never voted in a mayoral election in his entire life, which doesn't show a particular interest in municipal government. And I don't like things like that.
Well, the other guy, Ray McGuire.
Yes, he's the big, rich Wall Street guy who used to work for Koch Brothers.
Yes, Koch Brothers. And he hasn't voted either.
Yeah, they don't vote. I mean, now you're saying, oh, it's important now because, well, come on. We want someone who at least is interested in city affairs.
And betrays some understanding of local issues. A federal court in Alabama, I can't remember whether you did this last week, has barred an Alabama law that requires trans people have surgery before they can change their gender on their driver's license.
Alabama, I had that in international news. No,
that's a separate case.
I'm only kidding. All right. We love you in Alabama. There have been a lot of lovely people from Alabama.
Yeah. In Minnesota, trans powerlifter J.C. Cooper is suing USA Powerlifting because they have banned her from entering their competitions, even though she keeps giving them test results that show her testosterone has been severely depressed.
Depressed for 2 years, and they are going against the IOC policy and the International Powerlifting Federation.
Yep.
Let's trans women compete if they have a certain level for at least just 12 months. USA Powerlifting still says she still has advantages because of her bone structure.
But there's a lot of evidence against that. And even she says, I don't expect to win. There are only 4 trans women athletes who've had any real success. And speaking of athletes, Justin Thomas, the pro golfer, and since you asked last week, he is number 3 in the world and said, you know, muttered about himself, faggot, when he missed a putt in a tournament. And he is now...
He was calling himself for missing a putt.
Yes. Which you can translate. But now Ralph Lauren has canceled his clothing contract. It's interesting to me because this has come up many times before with athletes using this kind of language against themselves, against other people.
And Alec Baldwin.
all sorts of people. But now we're evidently at a level where there are some real world consequences for this beyond just someone having to apologize. And I am so sick to death of people saying, oh, this isn't me. I didn't even know I said it. Grow up. That's my final educated response to that. I am very grateful that he's being called to account for this.
Okay. Shall we just go to international news?
Yes, because we only have 13 minutes left.
Well, in Uganda, the virulently anti-LGBT leader, Museveni, was declared the victor, the opposition leader, Bobi Wine, and international observers are challenging the results. Museveni has been in there since 86. He succeeded Idi Amin and Milton Obote. The runner-up, who really should have won, his house was surrounded by police. They're running out of food. Nine of Museveni's cabinet members did lose, along with his vice president.
Well, you know, the Russian opposition leader is back in jail. It's just not good to be an opposition leader. And
Moshe Gessen thinks he'll eventually prevail.
I hope so. And in Romania, the story you started to refer to, the European Court of Human Rights says that Romania has violated the European Convention by requiring trans people to have surgery for any kind of gender change. So okay. Romania, Alabama, take your pick. You might want to avoid
both. In Croatia, the European Court of Human Rights ruled that a Croatian response, this woman was violently attacked by a guy in a bar who she didn't want to go with, and so he beat the crap out of her, and they gave him, what penalty did they give him?
Small fine.
40 euros.
Yeah.
Pocket change.
Yeah.
So they treated it as a minor defense. The woman had injuries all over her body, the lesbian. And so they were condemned for that. And the European Parliament, 150 members, condemned moves by Latvia to define the family solely in heterosexual terms in the Constitution.
And we're following the trial in Poland of the three women who in 2019 put up posters of in a Catholic church or around a Catholic church of, I guess it's the Black Madonna with a rainbow halo around her. The church called it a desecration.
I thought rainbows.
Desecration. What about the feces in the Capitol smeared on the walls? So the church is calling, and they put them up because the church had put up an installation calling LGBT people criminals. So the women are now on trial for their actions in Poland. We'll follow that. And we'll also follow what's going on in London in February, where finally the Privy Council will hear the marriage cases from Bermuda and the Cayman Islands.
I've been to a Privy Council meeting. In Reading, England, we told you about the murders of three gay friends. We're sitting there having lunch in a park. James Furlong, David Wallace, and an American, Joseph Ritchie, just having lunch. And this guy comes over and cuts them up and kills them and injures three others. Well, this shouting Allahu Akbar. Well, this guy was sentenced to life without parole. Most of the news stories, however, omitted the sexual orientation of the victims.
Well, of course. In Bali, a young American woman, Kristen Gray, is being deported. She's what's called a digital nomad. She moved to Bali because she works online, so she can work from anywhere. So she picked Bali to go to in the middle of COVID. And she was tweeting out things like, this place is very LGBT friendly and I can live much more cheaply here. So Bali said, how dare you? We're part of Indonesia. We're not LGBT friendly. And how dare you assert your Western privilege with all your talk about living more cheaply here? Get out. So goodbye, Kristen.
All right. COVID news?
Yes.
By the way, under Trump, U.S. life expectancy dropped by 1.13 years. However, a seventh grader, we have a picture of her, who was inspired by the story of the AIDS quilt told to her by her mother, who was involved with it, who had worked on it, is creating COVID quilts. Madeline Fugate, 14. She's put 125 squares into five large panels that she hopes to display around the country, starting at the California Science Center in L.A. You can submit them. Loved ones can submit 8-inch squares. You don't have to sew to submit. Just place some mementos on fabric. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that in our email.
And in Billings, Montana, they put up a COVID memorial. Teepees lit in different colors of the rainbow. I don't know if it's meant to be specifically a rainbow display, but it's an attempt to memorialize those lost and offer hope.
It is. A study at UCLA on gay and bisexual men. Oh, by the way, before we leave COVID, what do you think about David Kessler being appointed in charge of vaccines?
Well,
FDA head under Bush and Clinton.
He's got a lot of good credentials. I encountered him a couple of years ago at a panel discussion on at Johns Hopkins on sort of remembering the FDA attack by ACT UP, where we went there and basically changed how the FDA did drug approval by besieging the FDA. Well, he got up there and said, oh, activists had nothing to do with it. I don't know what you're talking about. So I don't have a very good taste in my mouth about David Kessler, but I don't know whether
he's a close associate of Fauci, and together that they did react to the activists and did start to get AIDS drugs online faster.
They did, but he now disavows any
rewriting history.
Yeah. I found him very arrogant, let's put it that way.
A study at UCLA found gay and bisexual men are more aware of PrEP, but using it less.
Yeah.
Which is disturbing.
The Department of Justice is suing two Bakersfield, California OBGYNs, one a man, one a woman, for refusing to do pap smears on an HIV-positive woman. Astonishing that the Trump Department of Justice would have sued them, but small positives. And Venezuela has detained six AIDS workers from a group called Azul Positivo, which has been in business for 15 years. The charges at the moment are unknown, but we'll keep an eye on that.
Entertainment news?
Yes.
It says that LGBT representation has fallen on TV for the first time in 5 years. And they go through a lot of this in their report.
Fallen a little, but more racially diverse, which is good news. They also say that one out of six LGBTQ characters on TV come from the studios of Shonda Rhimes, Greg Berlanti, Lena Waithe, and Ryan Murphy.
Sure.
Four people are doing that.
Sure.
And just three HIV-positive people in TV shows, and of course, they're all in Pose.
Okay. The Kennedy Center honors. No, I didn't see any gays, but allies. Garth Brooks, who sang at the inauguration, his We Shall Be Free has become a gay anthem. It says, when we're free to love anyone we choose. The great Joan Baez, choreographer Debbie Allen, and Dick Van Dyke, a great progressive, and the violinist Midori.
Joan Baez has had relationships with women. I'm not sure she talks about that anymore, but like Whoopi Goldberg doesn't talk about her past relationships with women. But there's at least a little flavor of it in there. You talked about the death of Pat Loud and comparing it to the death of Tommy Lasorda last week, both with gay sons. I just wanted to emphasize, as someone who is old enough to have watched American Family voraciously when it came out, I would watch each episode two or three times as it was
73.
Yes. And before DVRs or TiVos or anything. Well, I would watch the original episode and then the repeats later in the week. It was fantastic as a reality show. That's,
that's your thing.
And evidently, some of them. Not all of them, some of them.
You're the only one who watched The Apprentice.
Well, not the only one, clearly. But among our acquaintance.
Yes.
But Pat Loud, her relationship with Lance, her gay son, who was living in the Chelsea Hotel, I cannot begin to describe to you how enormous that was at the time, what a scandal it was that he was an out gay man on television and in a real person, and how important it was that she supported him.
PBS was at a period of being a lot more open to semi more radical things in those days. They did. In those days,
Margo St. James was running around doing the hooker's ball. The 70s were a very interesting time. And in retrospect, moment in time that has somewhat disappeared. I'm looking forward to a couple of things coming up. One of my favorite series, I think we have a couple of minutes.
2.5 minutes.
From Italy, Gomorra, which is about the Italian mafia in Naples. The first two seasons aired here, and then the third season just never made it here because of rights issues. Well, it's all coming to HBO Max starting tomorrow, Thursday, as we're speaking, the 21st. The first season is one of the greatest things I've ever seen on television, Gomorra. And we're now going to get...
Does this intersect with My Brilliant Friend?
No. But they're both in Naples. That's the intersection.
Mafia.
No, My Brilliant Friend isn't about the mafia.
It's part of the whole thing.
Well, it's really about the mafia.
It's
Gomorra, G-O-M-O-R-R-A-H. Gomorra on
Sodom and Gomorra.
Yes. On HBO Max, season one, you will not be sorry you saw that. And the other thing coming up on Hulu, I may have to take a free month introductory thing. The United States versus Billie Holiday on February 26th. This is a Lee Daniels production, and Andra Day as Billie Holiday and Natasha Lyonne or Lyon, I can never remember which.
And it's in Billie Holiday's youth.
I don't know how far it goes, but it talks about her as a civil rights activist, and it talks about her bisexuality with Tallulah Bankhead, who Natasha is playing. So that's coming up February 26th on Hulu. So Gomorra and the United States versus Billie Holiday. There's also a new book out that might interest some of you, a children's book, Pepito Has a Doll.
Right.
A bilingual book, English and Spanish, about a shy seven-year-old who secretly takes his doll to school. And this is because the author, Jesus Canchola Sanchez, had this experience as a child. And so he's written this story for children that talks about sexuality and gender.
Would you read it to me?
No.
Okay.
And did you watch the Tiger Woods HBO?
Oh, yes.
I feel so sorry for him. His father just ruined his life.
At least I hope he never goes back to playing golf with Donald Trump. And we're out of time. Thanks for being back, Ann.
Maren Johns will be here next week as previously scheduled. Thank you all. Bye.